Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, thank you again. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word today. If you have your Bibles, open to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. You know, today we're getting away from having a Bible. I encourage you, get a Bible that you bring to church. I mean, you might like reading on your phone, and I do too. I read on my phone. But to come to church, I think it's nice to have a Bible and bring a pencil with you, piece of paper. So take some notes today. I think, yeah, maybe the Lord will say something to you. I don't want to say I'm going to say something profound, but maybe the Lord will say something to you. But have a pen, have a paper, have a Bible you can scribble in, and it really, really help you grow in the Lord. And then if you don't read that daily, if you're reading from your phone, I got no problem with that. But I think it's nice in church to open the Word and have that before you. So encourage you to do that. Why don't you stand with me? Let's stand and let's read these scriptures. I got to get the buttons right here. Here we go. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Wow. Lengthen your ropes. Strengthen your pegs. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations. And will resettle desolate cities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Word. Lord, we know your Word is so powerful. We pray that right now everyone's heart would just be sensitive, Lord, to whatever you would have to say into their life with where they are and what they're going through right now. Lord, bless the preaching of your Word. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. And everybody, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Title of the message today is simply Isaiah 54. I added to that, if you want something more profound, God is on your side. Amen. God's on your side. There's some of you here today, and I know you're broken or you're hurting. You're going through a painful situation. You're in a battle. And I just want to bring this message today to encourage you that the Lord wants to bring you to a place of favor and blessing. In tough times, we get discouraged, and we can lose hope. And hope is the idea that tomorrow's going to be better. How many know that no matter which direction the world is going, if you're following Jesus, tomorrow's going to be better? Can I get an amen? Amen. And see, hopelessness is when we believe it's not going to get any better tomorrow. And we don't believe tomorrow's any better. We become hopeless. That leads us into depression, discouragement, and just walking away from everything the Lord wants to do in our lives. So if you feel like you're moving in that direction this morning, I want to encourage you that would stop and you would return to hope and you would return to the promises of the Lord. And when we close today, we'll just take time to pray. And if you want to come to the altar and just give that back to God and say, God, yeah, I've been turning in the wrong direction. I've been getting a little hopeless. Bring me back. He is the God of all hope. Can you say amen? So he's the one that has it to dispense. And so if you're lacking that, call upon him today, and he will give it abundantly. We are not here on this earth to get through or to survive one more day, but God has put us here to thrive and to fulfill our destiny. Amen? And if you have lost that sense of purpose, again, I want to encourage you today at the end of this service, come to the Lord and say, God, you know, what is my purpose? What is my direction? What am I here for? You're not here to survive. You're not here to make it through. Hallelujah. You're here to be a child of the King. And that's what we're getting into here in Isaiah 54. Today, the title of the message is Isaiah 54. And Isaiah 54 is all about the blessings that are going to come upon the people of God. And so we're just going to read through it verse by verse. I hope that's okay. It's not in my normal preaching style. It's more teaching, but I hope that's okay for you. If it's not, forgive me. But anyway, if you got your Bible open, before we go to Isaiah 54, just back up a little bit to Isaiah 53. We all love Isaiah 53. And I don't know why the church has not embraced Isaiah 54, because it's so powerful and they're so interconnected. And yet it's told us what Jesus did. And then Isaiah 54 says, and now here's everything kind of like that happens in your life. And we've just ignored it. We've just focused in this 53, which is awesome. But at any rate, let's get into it. So Isaiah 53, I don't want to read through the whole thing, but just to grab the picture of what it's talking about, the suffering servant, the Messiah. Verse 3 says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows. That word sorrows is pain, a man of pain, acquainted with grief. That word can be translated sickness. So a man of pain and of sickness. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we didn't esteem him. We didn't really, he's saying there, judge him correctly and lift him in his proper place. We let him be despised. Verse 4, surely our grief, again our sickness, he himself bore, and our sorrows, our pain, he carried away. Yet we ourselves esteemed or considered him stricken, and in that strickening that he was smitten of God and afflicted. In other words, a lot of people at that time of Jesus were like, yeah, he gets what he deserves. No, he got what we deserved. And so here it is, verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgressions. So we considered it wrong. He didn't get what he deserved. He got what I deserved. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, or by his stripes, we are healed. Somebody say hallelujah. And then it tells us our condition. Verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one his own way. You know, when you go your own way, it's destruction. You know, I'm going to just do what I want to do. You're going to destroy your life. Here. Thank you, Susan. She said, how well is that working out for you? So here's the way to do your life. How's he say to do your life? When you say, oh, I'm going to do it because that's what I want to do. Okay, you're destroying yourself. Each one's turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Wow. I don't want to read the rest of it, but I want to read a line over in verse 10. Right in the middle of verse 10, it says, he will see his offspring, or seed, depending on your translation. He will see his seed. We can just read that and go, well, yeah, he's God. He sees everything. That's not what that means. He will see. There's something deeply implied there. It means when he sees you as his offspring, it means, just like I was telling you about my kids, I'm in a good place. I'm seeing them doing well. Amen? They're healthy. They've graduated university. They have jobs. They're married. Yeah, they have some struggles in life, but I'm seeing them do well. That's such a joy to my heart. The Father is pleased when he sees you doing well, amen, in life. He's not up there waiting for an opportunity to punish you. He's looking for every opportunity to bless you, to help you, to encourage you, to move into the direction to be a king's kid, to look like him. Now, don't take this idea too far, like you're supposed to be spoiled and driving a Rolls or a Bentley or something. No, but you're supposed to walk with his confidence in your life. And I'm a child of Almighty God. I'm a king's kid. Amen? Hallelujah. And if I do it by the book, it's not like a guarantee. There's principle. If I do it by the book, though, my life's going to go well. Will problems come? Sure they will, because I'm also a child of Adam. So problems are going to come either way. But when problems come, I'd rather have God on my side than doing it on my own. Amen? So hallelujah. Well, Isaiah 53 is awesome. Suffering servant, the Messiah, the crucifixion, the release of the captive, the salvation of our souls, the removing of our sins, the healing of our diseases, all through Jesus. And now as we move into Isaiah 54, it's telling you, and now this is what life is supposed to look like. Hallelujah. That when we accept the suffering Messiah, there are benefits attached to that that are to come upon our life. And that's what Isaiah 54 tells us. So let's get into that this morning. Let's just start verse 1, and we're going to go down verse by verse. And you guys end at a quarter till? We got 10 minutes, so if you have to run out and eat, I guess I love you. But give me a little time. All right, Isaiah 54. I'll try and go fast. Isaiah 54, 1. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. And sorry, I didn't put that on the screen for you there. So this verse 1 is really important in that it tells us that this is written to Christians, really. It's written to Gentiles. Because it says there, you have not given birth. He's talking about the Gentiles. And the desolate one, that's the Gentile. So he's saying Isaiah 54 are for you Gentile followers of Jesus. And yet again, we've ignored it. And then number 2, he's basically saying in there, what you didn't have, now that you've accepted the suffering Messiah, you're going to have. Amen? And of course, that'll lead in as we look at the chapter, but peace and joy and the fulfillment and the purpose. So let's move on to verse 2. And this is what we already read, so fantastic here. He says, look, this blessing's coming, so get ready for it. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Don't spare. Don't hold back and just, a little bit. Let me just enlarge my tent a little bit and see what the Lord does. No, he says, don't spare. Enlarge your tent a lot. Lengthen your rope, strengthen your pegs. In other words, blessing is going to pack your tent out. Build a bigger barn. And then let me see if I got my thing right here. Yeah, verse 3. You will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations. Wow. And will resettle desolate cities. So he says, make room for the blessing. So in verse 1, he said, shout for joy. In verse 2, he said, build a bigger barn, blessings on the way. Hallelujah. And then in verse 3, he says, where are the blessings coming from? Where's the blessing coming from? Every direction, from the right and the left. You know, Jesus said they're going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south to sit down at the table of the Lord in his kingdom. And so people are coming from everywhere. And I thought about that verse And I think what we're doing with the International Church, you know, we have people from the north, Europeans come. We have people from the south, West Africans that come. We have people from the west, Americans. We have people from the east, Asians. And it's a wonderful church, but that's the blessing the Lord wants to bring into our lives and into our church. In the next verse, in verse 4, he says, fear not. How many of you struggle with fear? Don't raise your hand. Because it's probably everybody in this room. You're struggling with fear in some area of your life. God is wanting you to step out, and you're holding back. He's saying, enlarge your tent, and you're saying, gee, how much is that going to cost me? Am I going to put that money into a bigger tent? I don't see the blessing. Why should I build a bigger tent? He says, don't fear. Listen to me. Believe what I'm saying. Fear not. You will not be put to shame. You will not build a big tent, and it ends up empty. You will not be put to shame. Do not feel humiliated. Like Noah when he first built the boat, right? He built an empty boat, but God filled it. Don't feel humiliated if the tent's empty, right? It's not going to stay that way. For you will not be disgraced. God's blessing is going to come on your life. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and you'll no longer remember the disgrace of widowhood. He's saying that God wants to wipe away all the shame, all the disgrace, all the things we battle with. I live in a shame-based culture, and so it's very interesting. It's different than our culture. Our culture in America is a more legalistic culture. We believe in what's right and what's wrong. Where I live, they don't really believe in what's right or what's wrong. They believe in how does it look. What's the presentation? Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It matters how it looks. So you have to be very careful in the way you behave that you don't do something that causes shame to somebody. And so It's quite different, but it helps me understand what shame does in our lives. Shame is a state of embarrassment or humiliation by having done something that's dishonorable, immoral, or improper. And so we've all done that, but God says, forget the shame. Forget the shame. Because why? Because of Isaiah 53. Because of the suffering servant. He takes the shame away. So it doesn't matter who you are here today or what bad things you've done, just don't keep doing them, amen? But the shame from that, it's all gone. If you've come to Jesus, Isaiah 53, it takes it all away. And he says, no longer remember the disgrace. Don't live in the past. You know, so many people, and some of you here, and I feel sorry for you, and I want to ask you today to give it to God and break it. Get out of the past. There's people living in past victories. All they want to talk about is when they're on the high school football team or this or that, right? Something in the past that was great and in their life. I'm glad you had something great in your life. Have something great in your future. Amen? Hallelujah. You're on God's team now. There's something better than the past. And if you had something horrible in the past, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for you, but leave it behind. You got to let go of it. You keep going over and over and over, it doesn't change it. You got to let go of the past. I had a young man in the church from Liberia, and he was in the time when, just a terrible kind of revolution thing took place, and his parents were shot and killed right in front of him. And he couldn't get over it. Every person, he told me the story, and then I noticed as he was in the church, every person he met, he told the story. And it's like, now that's created the identity of who you are. You're the kid whose mom and dad was shot right in front of you. And you've carried this with you your whole life. And, you know, I prayed for him, encouraged him, but I'll tell you what happened. I had a Vietnam vet come. And that Vietnam vet, I think he said he didn't sleep for 27 years, and then God healed him. And he was able to minister to this kid and tell him his story and tell him how to leave that in the past. And that kid got set free. So listen, if you need to get set free today, I don't know your story or what thing in the past you're hanging on to, but I don't care if it's great or it's horrible. Lay it down. We are not the people of the past, amen? We're the people of the future. We have a plan. We're going up to see Jesus very soon. And we can't carry all this baggage with us. So let it go. All right, hallelujah. So don't fear. Don't hold on to the humiliation, the disgrace. Let it all go. Verse 5, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of armies. He can fight your battles. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Could he amplify that anymore for you? That the one who is on your side is Almighty God. Wow. He's your husband. He's your maker. He's the Lord of the angels, the armies. He's the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's the God of all the earth, and he's on your side. Wow. I don't know you could say it any more than that. Verse 6, for the Lord has called you. Wow. Poke your neighbor. Say, the Lord has called you. The Lord has called you. And then he describes what you're like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says the Lord. It doesn't come out and bluntly state it, but from those words, I get the picture. He's talking about you're not so good. Amen. You're an unfaithful wife. You're a prostitute. But the Lord has still called you. The Lord knows you're a prostitute. He still called you. Like a wife forsaken, a wife grieved, a wife's been discovered unfaithful or whatever it is, a wife in one's youth when she's rejected, God says, yeah, I know all the shame. I know all the disgrace. And he still says, you're my wife. I want you as my wife. And so God wants you. Amen? God doesn't just have you because he has you. We look sometimes at the scripture, for God so loved the world. It's true. But God loves you. Amen. And he doesn't just love you because you're one of a mass of many, but God likes you. Amen. And He might not like everything you do, but he likes you. Amen? And he's created you and him, as well as life circumstances, your parents, all kinds of things, have created you into the person you are, and he likes you. And he wants to be with you. The next verse, verse 7, says, "For a brief moment I abandon you, but with great compassion I'll gather you." And so our sin has separated us. But because of Isaiah 53, you see, he says, "For a brief moment I abandon you." That brief moment was thousands of years. But he says, "But with great compassion, I'm going to gather you back." If you'll accept the suffering servant, you'll accept Isaiah 53, and gathering you back to myself for you, you know, to be his own. Amen? Hallelujah. God has great compassion on us. Verse 8, "In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting favor, I will have compassion on you," says the Lord your Redeemer. Wow. Is that a great verse? You know, you need to go back. Today I'm going through each verse. I want to encourage you sometime this week, go back to Isaiah 54 and chew on every one of these verses. What does it mean? And then what does it mean to me right now, where you are in life? But I love this. "In an outburst of anger, I hid my face," right? The sin separated us. But that anger fell upon Jesus in Isaiah 53. It said, we read it already, right? It says, "Surely he bore our griefs, our sorrows he carried away. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God." But it was us. And so God's anger fell upon Jesus so that God's favor can fall upon us. And I love what he says there, everlasting favor. You don't have to worry about the favor of God like being, oh, it's the favor of God on Sunday mornings. I don't want to miss it, right? No, the favor of God's 24/7. Amen? It's everlasting. If today doesn't go good, you should wake up tomorrow and say, God's favor is going to be on me today. Amen? It's everlasting. It's going to be around every day, day after day. It's here today. It's going to be here tomorrow. It's going to be here the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. You can wake up and say, I've got the favor of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, "For this compassion," this, let's go back to verse 8 so we know what this is, right? "With everlasting favor, I'll have compassion on you." For this favor, this compassion is like in the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. You guys think you go out today and you mess up and God's angry at you. Now, I'm not giving you a reason to go out and sin. I'm not telling you to do that. And as I've already said to you, he might not like what you do, but he says he's made a promise like the promise of the days of Noah when he said, I'll never destroy the earth again with a flood. And that's held true now for a few years. Amen. He said, I feel like this promise is the same kind of promise. It is solid. It is sure. It is going to last for generation after generation, that my favor and my compassion is on you. And even when you mess up and you go away and you live like the prostitute, he said, I'm not going to be angry with you or rebuke you, but he's going to still draw you back. Amen. It doesn't say go out and do it, but it says he's not waiting to bash you. And so many of us, we've been brought up with that. Amen? You mess up, God's going to get you. He's got a big stick. He's got a big heart full of love. Jesus took the stick. Read Isaiah 53. He took it all for you. God is not wanting to bash you. He's wanting to save you. He's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to help you put your life right. He's wanting, as we said earlier, to be able to look on his seed with joy and fulfillment, that you're fulfilling your destiny and living right. Amen? That's what fills the Father's heart. His children moving in a good direction. He's not looking for an opportunity to bash you. He's looking for an opportunity to bless you. God will never go back on his promise. Verse 10, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake. You see, they use that language in Scripture a lot because it's like the mountains won't move. Amen? If you were born near a mountain, that mountain's still there. Mountains don't move. Amen? I mean, that's the idea here. But if something can move, the mountain will move before God's promise. The mountain might move, the hill might shake, but my favor will not be removed from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. If you have accepted the suffering servant, he says, my favor is on you, and I'm not removing it. Susan, amen, Susan over here. She taught me many, many years ago to say, walking in the favor of the Lord. And I still say that today, sister. I'm walking in the favor of God. And people are sometimes astonished and will even, you know, kind of make fun of you. But I'm like, I don't care. I'm walking in the favor of God. I'm blessed. So he says, enduring favor, enduring covenant. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry, hey, is my covenant intact? Did I pray it right? Did I get baptized right? No. It's all the covenant is based on what Jesus did. Your part is just to accept it. That's it. It's that easy. Amen? Now, we don't want to get into the whole doctrine thing of backsliding and can you fall away? But you know what? If you keep pursuing Jesus, it's not even a question. Amen? So he did it for you. All you have to do is accept it. Let's move on quickly. Verse 11 and 12. Afflicted one, storm-tossed, not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and I will lay your foundations with sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal. Heard one translation said of sparkling stones, and your entire wall of precious stones. The picture here is a reference to the glory of the church. Thankful for the word that came forward today. But God wants his church to be glorious. Amen? Because it's supposed to be full of people who have accepted the suffering Messiah, who have accepted the favor and compassion of the Lord, have their lives put together, amen, and that we're working together in a significant way and blessing those around us. And so the church should be glorious, and we need to be on that side with Jesus, amen? That's what he's doing. And so we need to be building the church, making the church glorious. Hallelujah. Because that's who we are. It's not the building. It's us. And he says that in 1 Peter. He says, you also, as the living stones, being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I know we say it all the time. The church isn't the building. But we've got to make that shift in the body of Christ of really knowing each other and building each other up. Amen? So we got to be more honest with our weaknesses and say, this is where I'm weak. Because we shouldn't be here just for the things that are on the super spiritual side. Amen? We shouldn't be just like, I got saved, and I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do. Okay, you're good. No, there's a lot of other stuff in life. Amen? Is your marriage good? Are you being a good parent? Are you being a good son or daughter? You know, your health intact. I mean, there's so many other areas of our life, and we in the church should be helping and encouraging one another to be the church. And so we got to be honest to say, here's a weak point. We got to be honest and willing to help other people to come alongside and say, okay, I got that area of my life worked out. I can help you. I can help you in that area. And here's the weak area of my life. Maybe you got your finances worked out, but your marriage isn't so good. Well, help somebody with their finances and get help for your marriage. Amen? And it should all be right here. We don't need the world. It should all be in the house to make the church glorious. That doesn't mean a fresh coat of paint on the outside of the building. It means us alive, vibrant, growing, so that the Father's eyes are looking and saying, wow, those people First Assembly, they got their lives put together, and he's so full of joy because you're living for him. You're living that glorious life. You're being the stones. You know, back on that other scripture, antimony, where'd that go? Behold, I will set your stones in antimony. Antimony is a mineral that in ancient times was used for cosmetics. So what he's saying there is, I'll make you beautiful. And then, of course, all the other description there is beautiful also, right? So he wants to make the church beautiful. All right, well, let's finish up. We have just a couple more verses, if you can hang with me, another 5 minutes or so. Verse 13, to all your children will be taught by the Lord. And the well-being of your children, another translation says, the prosperity of your children will be great. The well-being, the prosperity of your children. Again, this is the Father. He wants not just our children, but our children's children. And so, some of you here today, maybe your children aren't serving the Lord. You know what? Start confessing that verse, because that verse is for everyone who has accepted the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. And if you've done that, then that verse is yours, and you should be saying, my children will be taught by the Lord, and the well-being of my children will be great. Amen? My children are going to do good in life. And if your children aren't doing good in life right now, that's okay. Kids walk through that a lot. Confess that over them. The state they are in is not the state they're going to be in, because the well-being of my children will be great. Can I get an amen from all the parents? This is a promise to you. Let's keep moving. Verse 14. In righteousness you will be established, and you'll be far from oppression, and you will not fear. Again, if you're fearing, lay it at the altar. And from terror, it'll not come near you. Sorry, we're out of time. I got to keep going. Verse 15. If anyone fiercely attacks you, oh, church, get this. He says, it will not be from me. Attacks are going to come, man. We live in a broken, dark, sin-filled world. Bad stuff's going to happen. God says clearly here, when that happens, don't blame me. I'm on your side. I'm your answer, not the problem. God, why'd you do this to me? He's up there, oh my gosh. How can he help you when you're blaming him? He says, it's not from me. And he says, listen, if you'll just stay with me, stay with it. Whoever attacks you, they're going to fall. They're going to fall because I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Verse 15, he says, listen, here's the truth. Say, well, God, you knew about it. Well, God, you could have prevented it. You could have done this. You could have done that. Yeah, he says, yeah. I myself have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its work. And I'm even the one who created this destroyer who inflicts ruin. He says, yeah, you're right. I created the guy whose heart's full of evil, and I created the person who creates weapons. And there's a big verse missing from the Bible, and that's the word but. But no weapon that's formed against you will succeed. So yeah, I created the guy. Yeah, I know the guy's making a weapon. No, I'm not stopping everything. I'm not preventing everything. And there's going to be an attack that comes, but no weapon that's formed against you is going to succeed. And you will condemn every tongue that accuses you in judgment. In other words, he's saying, I've given you authority to rise up against that and speak against it and say, that's not coming near me. Amen? And then this is still part of verse 17, but it's really another verse because it's another thought, because it's applying to the whole chapter 54. Because he says, this isn't no weapon. This is all of Isaiah 54. This is the heritage. In other words, your inheritance, your ownership, your right, your authority given to you by Almighty God. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication. Vindication means to be made right or righteous. Your righteousness isn't because you did right. It's because Jesus did right. Amen? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. This is the vindication of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication, their righteousness is from me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Declares the Lord. Whew. Well, I missed all my notes. We'll just move on. Church, we could stay there a while. We could camp there a while. And I want to encourage you to do that this week. Go back to Isaiah 54. Chew on that. I was talking to Joe about that last night. I think that, you know, the church today doesn't know how to meditate. And I did a message not long ago. You can look it up on YouTube if you want to. But it's meditation and revelation. We've got to meditate on something until we get the revelation of what God wants us to have. So it's not sit in a corner and go, oh, it's you get the word and how does that affect my life? And then how do I live that out functionally in my life? And so meditate until you have revelation. Meditation, revelation is so important. So I want to challenge you, say, man, I don't know how to do that. This week, go back to Isaiah 54, read through the whole thing, read Isaiah 53, then just grab one verse and just think on it through the day. What does that verse mean? How does it apply to my life? And let God work that in and through you. Well, we need to close. I'm already 15 minutes over, so can someone come to the piano and let's close in prayer? And thank you, Jesus. Some of you, I know you needed this word today. I know the Lord impressed upon me to bring this word this morning. So I know it's for somebody and hopefully many somebodies. And so as we close, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a fight right now, it's for you. Because I want you to know that God's on your side. Amen? Because when you're going through the battle, you might feel like God's not on your side. You might feel like, where is he? Why didn't he answer my prayer? Why didn't he answer my prayer the way I want him to answer my prayer? I can't always answer those questions for you, but I can answer this question for you. He's still on your side. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So I want you to know that this morning, and I just want you to receive that and be encouraged today that he's going to see you through. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do we have somebody? Yeah, you can go ahead and play. I'm just going to close in prayer. And Pastor, where'd Pastor Bill go? Pastor Bill, he wants to come and close. But I want to pray for you before he comes. And if you want to come to the altars, I'll be down here praying. If you're going through the battle, can I ask you to come to the altar? Because, again, we need to be vulnerable, church. This is what makes the church glorious. To say, yeah, that was a message for me. And just let somebody come lay their hand on you and say, bless my brother, bless my sister. Help them know today that God's on their side. So if you're in the battle, would you come? You can come right now. Come as I close in prayer. Pastor Bill's going to come. And of course, I know if you need to leave, that's fine too. But if you're in the battle, come. Be vulnerable. Let somebody come pray for you. If you don't want to tell somebody what you're going through, it's okay. But if we're going to be glorious, we got to be more transparent. If we're going to really enlarge our tent, if we're really going to make more room for more of God, we got to become more transparent. We've all got weaknesses. We all need help. And at the same time, there's some areas of our life we got it together. And so we need to be willing to give that to somebody who don't have that area of their life together. So that we can be the glorious church, the children, and he will see his seed, and he will see his seed glorious. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Bill and the faithful service, this faithful servant to you, Lord. Bless him, encourage him, strengthen him and his family. Continue to minister to him as he ministers to the church, Lord. Thank you for time today in this church, Lord. It's home for me. Thank you for making it home for me. And just pray for, I just want to pray, Lord, for everyone here that you just strengthen them to, Lord, not just to get lackadaisical or just to go through the motions, but to be the glorious church you desire for them to be. To pull together and help one another, to be transparent and allow their weaknesses to be seen and get help and become who you want them to be. Thank you for all the great words, Lord, in Isaiah 54 that summed up as, God, you're on our side. Thank you. Thank you for being on my side. Thank you for each one in this room. You're on their side. You're willing to fight their battles and help them through the hard times. Thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you that your favor will never be removed. Thank you that even when we mess up, you won't be angry at us. Thank you. Bless each one today, Lord. Encourage each one today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us, please? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Chris. I know that those of you that are walking through a valley, a shadow, a struggle, this word is timely, just what is needed in this hour. Amen? Praise the Lord. For the rest of us, it is also a reminder for when the battle comes. Amen? Father in heaven, I pray your blessings over these folks as they go forth from this house. May your word go with us. May we constantly remember you love us. You care about everything that is happening in our lives. And you are the God who can change it all. Minister as only you can to these who are at this altar. And may your blessings rest upon us all as we leave this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Linger for as long as you desire. God bless you as you leave.